Good morning, everybody. Hello. What's going on? What is going on with everybody?
You know, the things.
Did What's you all happening? Use your Genucel skincare? Did you take care of your face today? Did you take care of your skin?
I took care of it all up in here.
I did not. It's no shower Wednesday for me, so I have not yet done my skincare regimen, but I will when I do get cleaned up. I will be using all of my Genucel products, and if you are not using Genucel products, you guys, there's a new one that you need to know about. It is the Genucel Dark Spot Corrector. There it is. Dark Spot Corrector. I don't know if you can see it because I have like light on me and all this stuff, but I have a giant age spot. I forget on which side of my nose, but on the side of my nose, it's just this big old brown circle. It kind of looks like a mole, but it's flat. You know what I mean? I've had it forever. And I'm going to try this because I just got it. And so I'm excited to see if it works. Because I had, what's the thing that you do? There's like IPL, I think, is the thing that you can do at a dermatologist where they use light therapy or something to try to get rid of spots. And I had my lady try to get rid of it and it disappeared. Like it was incredible. Like it just went away after this treatment, but then it comes back. And so it comes back. That's like that stuff is all, it's like microderm abrasion, right? Like you just do it. It's like a facial, but doesn't have any permanent effects. So I'm very excited because this Dark Spot Corrector, it has all kinds of special peptides in it that is supposed to help really reduce the appearance of dark spots, age spots, sun spots. So it's not something that's limited to just your face. You could use it on your hands or wherever you have.
Yeah.
You could do it anywhere. And now that is also part of the most popular package. Remember how we've told you about the most popular package where they curate all their best stuff? They've got the ultra retinol cream in there. They've got the dark spot corrector. They've got the immediate effects for under eye. They've got the XV cream, so much stuff. And the jawline treatment.
My favorite.
Oh my gosh. And you guys, there's only 1 week left for their summer clearance sale. So right now, we're in their final week, 60% off the most popular package at genucel.com/chicks. And then you'll also get a gift. You're going to get a free gift when you order. So check them out, genucel.com/chicks.
And don't forget, check out our podcast, which drops today. Yesterday, we talked to Nick Freitas. I thought his name was Freitas. It's not Freitas, Amy Jo. It is Freitas, like a freight train. Such a delightful guy. We talked to him yesterday. It'll drop today. You guys do not want to miss that one. So make sure that you find that, check it out. If you can't like listen to it today, put it in your pocket, listen to it whenever, you know, send it to your friends, send it to, you know, all the people that you love, send it to the people that you hate and subscribe. Okay.
Put it right there in your pocket or your tool belt.
In the pocket, like right back there. Okay.
Quick bit of news before we get straight into the Matt McConaughey story, which of course, because we are a celebrity culture, that is the top story of today. But there is other stuff going on. For example, Chaisa Boudin, I think that's how you say his name. The district attorney, I think, in San Francisco, he was recalled yesterday. And so that is hugely, hugely good news for San Francisco and people who live there who are worried about crime. It's great because it sends a signal to the powers that be there that super progressive, psycho, no prosecuting policies are terrible for people, right? Terrible. And so that's good. However, the person that's going to be in charge of appointing his replacement is San Francisco's mayor, London Breed.
Yeah.
Who is London just Breed. As crazy as he is. So I don't know.
And she'll pick somebody else who's batshit. Yeah. Although I think, that dude, I can't remember his name. I want to say Garcon, but who is it in L.A.?
Yeah.
Is it the guy in L.A. is just as bad as this Boudin dude. Right. Just as bad. He's completely destroyed L.A. So hopefully it'll be, you know, like a wake up call for that dude, too. Like your time is next. Like you're up. And so hopefully they're going to, I just hope that they start cleaning house. You know, I got a boy that's moving back to California and I'm like, oh my God, I worry about my kids, you know, because it's he and his wife. I worry about them because of crime and because of just for so many reasons. But, you know, we have listeners that are in California that are in these areas, conservatives, good conservative people who are like, you know, they just love that. They love the area. They love the state that they are in, the cities that they, you know, once knew as good places, and Democrats have just come in and just completely destroyed those places. That's a shame. You know, they shouldn't have to flee those places because Democrats have destroyed those places.
Right.
You know, so hopefully they can reclaim them as their own. I hope that that's the case. I really do. I hope that it's a wake up call, and I hope that these people, they can get these people out of there and they can clean those places up. That's the hope, right?
Well, I mean, it is a good sign, I guess. You know, I hope that it is a wake up call. But again, when we've got London Breed making the appointment decisions, I just wouldn't hold out like a huge amount of hope that it's going to get remarkably better, because she's going to find another progressive. It's just hopefully she finds someone who isn't quite as much of a lunatic. I mean, that's the most that we can hope for.
The next step is to get her out of there.
Right. Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Also, do you know who Todd and Julie Chrisley? You know the Chrisleys?
Yep.
So it turns out they were just found guilty of running a giant years-long fraud conspiracy. They are now looking at facing 30 years in jail.
That couple.
I loathe that couple. They are just so distasteful and offensive to me on every level. And like the reason that they were found out for all their crimes is because the gay lover of Todd, once they broke up, he ratted on them. And so if there's a single soul out there who's like, Todd Chrisley is gay?
Was gay? Yeah. Oh
then
my God.
I don't even know
right?
what's wrong with you.
this is the thing. When I saw that too, I was like, is anybody surprised by this? Like, who was surprised by the fact that dude was gay? Hello, raise your hand. I know. I saw
well, I guess
too.
We should say bye, right? Because clearly he's had 5 kids with his wife. I mean, he's obviously fine with either. So.
Yeah, I guess.
Anyway,
I know.
We'll see what happens, but they have been found guilty of fraud.
30 years in prison. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. How the mighty have fallen, as they say.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, they have kids. You know, they have kids who have built big social media presences and, you know, brands of their own. So kind of sucks for the kids, I guess. You know, because they've been thrown
into that.
Are
most of them grown, or are they still?
Yeah, okay. they're grown pretty much. There may be, I don't know, I think there may be one that's a little bit younger, but it just kind of sucks because they didn't ask for that, right? I mean, they were thrown into that life, but still, yikes. Yikes.
Yikes, indeed. And then one more tidbit before we get to the first little bit of Matthew McConaughey clippage that I have, and that is that Johnny Depp has joined TikTok.
Oh, look at that.
He has amassed over 7 million followers. He put out a little montage video and a caption that just thanked all of his fans for their like undying, unwavering support. And it was just like images of him, like from the car on the way to the courtroom, waving at his fans, and then some images of him playing guitar on stage, which he obviously loves to do. And it was just a nice, lovely little message to thank people for support. Well, Amber Heard was furious about it because in the message, he said something like, it's time to move forward, or I'm moving forward, or something like that. And so she immediately released a statement saying that it was that this whole hullabaloo has set women back. And so while he moves forward, all women have been set back because of the outcome of their long court battle. So she's mad.
She still insists that, you know, she was abused and whatnot. Yeah. Very, very interesting. Yeah. Okay. I figured that he would probably use that as a platform though, because he's really into like the music thing now. Cause he released some sort of music, something like an album, something. I call it an album because I'm 1,000 years old, but he released something like the very next day after that verdict went down, which I thought was interesting. The timing.
Yeah.
But he did that. So
Okay.
Kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So now we need to talk about Matt McConaughey. So yesterday afternoon, after we recorded our podcast with Nick Freitas, we started seeing all these clips floating around that Matt McConaughey had been invited to speak at Karine Jean-Pierre, KJP's presser yesterday. And so, I mean, my initial reaction was, seriously, are we going to, this is now what we're doing. Now the White House press conferences are just going to be filled with celebrities all the time. We got BTS. We got, what's her name? Olivia Rodrigo. We got, I mean, whoever. They're constantly just having celebrities come and speak on behalf of, I don't even, I guess everybody. And so Matt McConaughey, I understand, obviously he was born in, he's from Uvalde, Texas. This is a very personal issue for him. And he's hoping to spur on or continue the momentum, I guess I should say, for a bipartisan congressional deal to be reached, some sort of bill to be, legislation to be come up with that satisfies everybody. It's not going to make everybody happy 100%, but at least some compromises may be made. And so he gave a very compelling, very heartfelt, tearful at times speech about meeting the families of the victims in Uvalde, of his ideas for how we could approach potential legislation. And it was all very, I don't take like giant offense to anything he said specifically. I'm just so tired of this being such a celebrity culture that this is who we're relying on now to like somehow, you know, smooth over everything.
Right. Because we're void of leadership. We're void of actual leaders. Like, I mean, you didn't see the president anywhere, right? You didn't see the actual leaders that we've elected anywhere. You see freaking Matthew McConaughey up on a podium giving this impassioned speech, which like, like you said, to just parrot what you said, there was nothing wrong with the speech. It was a good speech. Right. But it's like, but why are we looking to him to give us that speech and to provide that leadership? Because our leaders freaking suck. That's why, you know, I mean, it's so bizarre that I'm watching that last night before I go to, I watched the whole thing. Of course I saw clips yesterday when you and I were watching yesterday, but then I sat in bed last night before I went to bed and I watched the whole thing and I'm like, it's just nuts. Like our culture is nuts that this is what is happening. This would have never happened 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah.
This wouldn't have happened, but this is what we've become.
And I will say, when Biden had to, because he is the president, when like his team forced him to come out and make a statement immediately in the aftermath of the Uvalde shooting, it would have been actually nice if he would have taken a page from Matthew McConaughey's book and given a more unifying speech. Because I think above all else, Matt McConaughey, he spoke to all sides, right?
Right.
He spoke to responsible gun owners first and foremost, but he also spoke to people who are not wanting to budge at all on gun rights. He spoke to people who want all the gun control, all the guns to be confiscated. He really spoke to everybody.
Everybody.
And just desperate for compromise. There was nothing wrong. There was nothing super outlandish or outrageous about what he said, but it's unfortunate that this is now who feels like they have to get out in front of this issue because our leaders are so woefully terrible at it.
Right.
So
right.
I pulled one clip that I thought was the most representative of his talk. I should say it does not include, and it was very sweet that he did this. He talked about every child who perished in that shooting, he told a personal story about them. And it was really, really lovely that he did that. I don't have those clips. I don't have those here because it would take way too long. But I do have kind of his main points where he talks about what he thinks should happen. And he gets very pastory sounding almost, right?
Does.
Like the
he
guy's
does.
An actor. He knows how to put on a show, and he just has his Matthew McConaughey way of saying things. And you're going to hear that in just some of the words, right? In some of the words that he says, you can hear his drawl and his weird pastor tone. So here's kind of just the basics of what he was talking about.
We need to invest in mental health care. We need to save for schools. We need to restrain sensationalized media coverage. We need to restore our family values. We need to restore our American values. And we need responsible gun ownership. Responsible gun ownership. We need background checks. We need to raise the minimum age to purchase an AR-15 rifle to 21. We need a waiting period for those rifles. We need red flag laws and consequences for those who abuse them. These are reasonable, practical, tactical regulations to our nation, states, communities, schools, and homes. Responsible gun owners are fed up with the Second Amendment being abused and hijacked by some deranged individuals. These regulations are not a step back. They're a step forward for a civil society and the Second Amendment. Look, is this a cure-all? Hell no. But people are hurting. Families are, parents are. And look, as divided as our country is, this gun responsibility issue is one that we agree on more than we don't. It really is.
So, again, nothing too crazy, right?
Well, I mean, I actually think it is kind of crazy for a celebrity to get up and talk about family values and American values. I do think that's a little bit, I do. I think that is a little bit crazy. You don't hear that very often. And that was one of the first things that he said. Now, granted, I don't know what that means to him, but it is kind of odd to hear a celebrity say that. And one of the first things that he did talk about in his speech, where he talked about growing up in Uvalde and then, you know, having a BB gun and then getting a rifle, or I think he said either it was a rifle or a shotgun. And he grew up with that culture because in Texas, that's what people do. You know, I mean, I live in Texas. And the boys around here, girls around here, they grow up with that. Like, I grew up in Georgia. I went to high school where, you know, your husband went to high school with me. Guys would drive up with their pickup trucks with, you know, rifles in the back of their truck, and they'd park in the parking lot. No one ever batted an eye. That's the America that I grew up in, where no one cared. No one thought twice about that. Because that they would go after school and they do whatever. They'd go hunting with their fathers or do whatever. This is the America that I grew up in, because that was responsible gun ownership, you know, because kids were taught to revere guns. They were taught to respect them and treat them accordingly. And that is what he spoke to yesterday in that speech. It's just different now. And I think a lot of that has to do with family values decaying. We talked to Nick about that yesterday in our podcast. We talked to him about the fact that there is such a cultural rot in this country. Now, Matthew touched on that, just a little bit. He just like touched on it with the whole family values, American values thing. Okay, well, what does that mean? And how do we get to the bottom of that? But at least he mentioned it. Right. And you don't hear that from celebrities very often. They don't ever even talk about that. They just usually go straight to guns, which was a little bit refreshing for me to hear that from at least, you know, just hear
somebody.
It from somebody. Somebody in Hollywood said it.
Right.
At least he said it. Yeah.
Well, and he also appeared on Bret Baier's special report last night. And I do have one clip to share from that. But before we get to that, just want to remind everybody, because everything is so whack right now, you should be thinking about diversifying your financial portfolio in every possible way. And I'm not even talking about just gold, which I am talking about, but in every way, right? It's, you don't ever want to have all your eggs in one basket. And so if you have your IRAs, your 401ks, whatever, and you've thought, what about, maybe I should be thinking about adding physical gold to my portfolio, then this is a great way to do it. So you should check out the people that we go to, which is Acre Gold. Acre Gold is the best place to get physical gold because you can subscribe to it. You can do it on a layaway plan, right? Like you send $50 a month, $100 a month, whatever. And you, as you earn it, then they just send it to you in the mail, and they send it to you and it looks like this. You can touch and hold it. You can put it in your safe. You can take it to a safety deposit box. Wherever you want to have it, you can stock up. And you know that you're hedging against inflation a little bit, hedging against what the markets do a little bit. It's just another way to diversify. So you don't want to have all gold. You don't want to have all 401k. You don't want to have all anything. You want to be as diversified as possible. This is a great way to do it. You can get more details at getacregold.com/chicks.
And you guys, make sure that you're checking out all of our socials. It's at Chicks on Right, pretty much on every single platform, on Instagram, on Twitter, on all the things. TikTok. Check us out on TikTok. Do it.
All the things. Okay. So Matthew McConaughey also went on to Special Report. And again, because he's a Hollywood celebrity, he got like, it was a hugely long segment, right? It was probably 15 minutes with Matthew McConaughey. And again, very nice conversation that he and Brett Baer had. It was totally lovely. And I know that one of the sticking points that a lot of 2A people have is this whole idea that Matt is also floating, which is, let's raise the age that you need to be from 18 to 21 for AR-15s. And I know a lot of people bristle at that. And a lot of people use the argument, well, that's crazy because we send off our 18-year-olds into the military and they're using AR-15s all the time. And now you're telling them they're not allowed to have them. That's crazy. So Matthew McConaughey had a specific response to that in this clip.
Texas gun owners, you talk to them all the time.
All the time.
And what do they say to you?
Well, here's the thing, Red. Look, I've been talking to so many that are gun owners, that own AR-15s, that are responsible gun owners. And I hear so many of them saying, yeah, pause after purchase. I like that idea. Hey, 18 to 21 for that AR-15 style rifle. Yeah. Because you know what the difference is, and the argument would be, well, at 18, you go in the military. Well, they're going to the military with intent and purpose, all right? And even going to the military, it's like over a week of training before they're ever putting a live round into that semi-automatic, all right? That's with intention and purpose. We're talking about it here in the civil society, to be able to go purchase that kind of weapon, and then that afternoon, do what you will with it. I think we could be more responsible than that. Yes, sir, I do.
So that's his response to that.
Yeah.
Listen, at this point, I'm willing to compromise. The waiting period, 3 days, I have no problem with that either. I don't like restrictions, but on some things, I think those are things that we could compromise on without losing a lot.
I would compromise on that if they would lock down our freaking schools.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, it's got to be a whole comprehensive plan.
It has to be a package. Everybody sit at the table and let's talk about what needs to happen. Sure. I'll give you that. If you like secure every one of our schools, just like you secure every other government building, just like you secure the White House, just like you secure that government building and that government building, because why are these schools not secure? I don't get it. Why are they not secure? Just like every other government building. Why was that not done 20 years ago? I just don't understand that. Why are they still soft targets? So that also should be on the table.
Oh, no. I mean, I wouldn't give on that unless it was. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
There's going to be people. There's going to be things that are going to make us unhappy regardless. So we have to decide, okay, well, that's how compromise works. What are we willing to give on that's not going to confiscate our weapons, that's not going to make us Canada? You know what I mean? Like there has to be something we give on. And if it's going to be something like making a 3-day waiting period, I don't
find
that. Okay. Like, why would we push super hard on that if we know we're going to get school security officers or hardened schools? To me, that's a very simple compromise.
Right, because if you just do that and you don't harden the schools, it's not going to work.
Right,
You're not going to see an improvement. You've got to harden the schools. And there are other things, too, that people have to start talking about. And the culture has to be another talking point. And it has to be another place where we start saying, you know what? Our culture has gone to hell. We got to start working on that too. We have to start talking about, you know, the way that this, the welfare state and all sorts of just, oh my God, like it is just a huge box of just issues that have led to where we are today. You know, so we have to start talking about everything that's in that box, in addition to the things that we can, just the low hanging fruit that we can actually fix. Today, we can fix those things today, like the things that we just talked about. We can do that and then start talking about the things in that box.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we've already gone 25 minutes. I cannot even believe it. And I have not gotten, we've gotten so focused on this, which I knew we would because that is the culture, right? It's the most important thing is what Matthew McConaughey is saying, apparently.
Well, we got to get to that stuff. We got to get to it. Yeah,
I know. Go. And so, okay. So what I wanted to show you is Senator Kennedy, because you guys, you know how great he is. He's so freaking funny. And there's this clip of him. Every morsel in this clip is delicious. Just listen to him talking to Jesse Waters. I just listen.
No wonder the border's a mess. You can't buy respect. And throwing money at a problem won't make it go away. John Kennedy is a Louisiana senator, and he knows better than anybody, you just can't just pay off a problem.
Jesse, in Washington, D.C., when I feel inadequate, I just look around. On really bad days, I see liars and frauds and meatheads in every direction. This is what President Biden's and Vice President Harris's Washington, D.C. has given the American people. And bear with me. Today, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, who was also captain of Team Transitory Inflation, announced that she's really sorry, but inflation's not going to be transitory. It's going to be with us for a long while. In other words, she does not have a solution to inflation, but she really admires the problem. In other words, get used to it. Meanwhile, her boss, President Biden, continues to campaign for more economic chaos by trying to convince us in Congress to raise taxes by $3.5 trillion, by expanding an already generous welfare state, and by turning cops into social workers. Meanwhile, I don't know about where you live, Jesse, but in my state, the price of gas is so high that it would be cheaper to buy cocaine and just run everywhere.
I just freaking love him.
Oh my God. That is the greatest. It would be cheaper to buy cocaine.
And just run. Just run
just
everywhere.
Just run, you guys. Just run, Forrest. Run.
So he mentioned Secretary Yellen in that clip, and she was getting grilled by, I forget what Senate committee hearing yesterday, and I think it was Senator Thune who was questioning her about the use of the word transitory, which she just mentioned. She, you guys, I cannot believe that she is still in this job when she is this just fraught with ineptness. But listen to this short clip of her. And let me know how much confidence you have in where we're going.
As Chair Powell indicated himself, both of us probably could have used a better term than transitory. There's no question that we have huge inflation pressures, that inflation is really our top economic problem at this point, and that it's critical that we address it. So I do expect inflation to remain high, although I very much hope that it will be coming down now.
Oh yeah,
she hopes you do hope you guys.
I bet you. I bet she hopes that. She wishes she would have picked a different word. You know, liberals and their semantics. She just wishes she would. I bet she really hopes that. How do these people like do what they do? How do they even get to these positions? And on a side note, is it just me, or does she look like a more bloated version of Hillary Clinton? I feel like she looks like just a paler, more bloated version. Like if you just took Hillary and you just, like, I don't know, if you just whited her out just a little bit more
and
just
squashed her,
and then puffed her up and just like pushed her down and squashed her more. It's like, is it just me? It just, I feel like, because I see her and I see, and then you like made her voice just a little bit more like this. That's yelling. You know what I mean?
I know.
God, that woman. It's like, how? I know. How are these people in these positions? She is an idiot. How?
Don't forget, you guys, right now, MyPillow, our good friends at MyPillow are offering buy one, get one on so many of your favorite things. My favorite things are the pillows. Also love the sheets. It's buy one, get one on sets of towels, on sets of sheets, on their, of course, their amazing pillows. So many items are buy one, get one when you go to mypillow.com/chicks. And no matter what you order, you're going to get a copy for free of Mike Lindell's book, Thrown In, mypillow.com/chicks, or call 1-800-875-0513.
My favorite is the travel pillow, especially good for road trips this summer, you guys. The little travel pillows, great for the kids. Love mm-hmm. that. They have all different, like, little pillowcases. I get the leopard ones because they're fabulous. They're fabulous.
But in the meantime, what is in your sack of whack?
Okay, well, I think this is whack. You guys may think it's great. You may be cheering this on, but I think it's kind of whack. Justine Lindsay is the first openly transgender NFL cheerleader. So that's yes. Justine Lindsay. I just wanted yes, to mention that. Now, some people may think that that's not whack. I think it's just a little bit weird. And it opens the door for, like, you know, I think I foresee, I don't know, probably in about 15 years, we're going to have like half of the NFL cheerleaders being like transgender. So, I mean, it's just the way that it works because it's just opening the door. So anyways, that's Justine. I mean, she's, you know, she's kind of cute, you know, so there you go. But anyways, she's a cheerleader for the Carolina Panthers. She's a top cat. That's what they call them, the top cats. I'm just waiting for the Dallas Cowboys to get themselves their first transgender cheerleader because they're very particular about their girls. You know what I mean? Like they're seeped in tradition. So when that happens, that's when it's going to be full on whack, you guys, because yeah. Anyways, she announced that she is really excited to be a cheerleader, and she's very, you know, excited that because she identifies so much as a transgender. She says, I would like to thank the beautiful and talented dancers who supported me along the way, alumni, Top Cats, family, and friends for your love and support. I would have not gotten to this moment in my life if it wasn't for all that support. And the coach, Chandelier Lenouette, she took a leap of faith and included her in the squad's legacy, but she is the first. She is the first. So anyways, I just thought that
when there becomes like, I don't know, and maybe there already is like certain contests or competitions for professional cheerleaders. And I don't know if there are any or if there will be any, but just wait, because that's what's going to happen next is that it'll be the biological male cheerleaders who are winning right. those contests.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, so this is just another example of them kind of seeping in, and then women are sort of being like plucked off
Bye.
One by one. Bye, women. Bye. And then once again, feminists, silent. Totally mm-hmm. silent. Mm-hmm. So that's your whack for the day. Happy
that is
Wednesday,
your
everybody.
Whack.
Okay. Astrid is in charge now. So everybody bring it in. Gosh, such a diva. Oh, it's a big hug. It's a big Wednesday hug. You guys have a wonderful, wonderful day, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
We need to talk about our friends at Acre Gold really quickly because we like doing it. It's just a nice way to hedge against inflation and kind of build your portfolio and have some diversity in it. All you have to do is visit getacregold.com/chicks. You can start investing right away. And if you tweet or post at @get_acre, you have a chance to win a free gold bar. All you have to do is just say, here's why I should be the winner. And then you very well may be the winner. So it's getacregold.com/chicks.
This week on the Federalist Radio Hour. And the obvious challenge to that is the media blackout. You know, if this were in the other direction, if the difference here was, you know, going in the other direction, then it would be nonstop in the same way. In fact, actually, we have a pretty neat case study in this with the Russia hoax itself. It was nonstop coverage from the media that was essentially doing in journalistic gymnastics to fabricate a conspiracy theory. I'm Emily Jashinsky of The Federalist. Subscribe to The Federalist on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.